Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to yet again another week of Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. I am joined today by Wes Towers, and we will be chatting about standing out in an AI-driven market. As AI reshapes industries, what will set human leaders apart? In this timely episode, myself and Wes will be exploring the irreplaceable human qualities that define the future of leadership: emotional intelligence, creativity, intuition, and ethical discernment. We discuss how leaders can integrate technology without losing humanity, purpose, or connection. Today's conversation is for leaders that are navigating innovation while staying deeply rooted in values and conscious leadership. Wes is the founder of Uplift 360, a digital agency in Australia that helps trade and construction businesses be found, trusted, and chosen online. With more than two decades in design and marketing, he now works at the intersection of AI, strategy, and story, guiding clients to use technology in ways that are deeply human and values-driven. A few years ago, confronting business valuation suggested his company was worth less than its assets and that AI was a threat to what he had to build. Instead of shrinking, Wes took it as a wake-up call. He turned toward breathwork and deep inner work and began refining his business from the inside out. Today, Wes is helping leaders align their business model, message, and marketing with those with who they really are, so growth feels clean rather than forced. His search everywhere optimization approach blends practical systems with authenticity, telling the truth about your story, your limits, and your responsibility to the people that you serve. Thank you so much, Wes, for joining today. As I said to you, I'm super excited about the conversation today. I love all things AI. I am always trying to figure out how to use more technology in the work that I do. So I'm personally really interested to hear more about you, your story, and exactly what we're talking about here today, which is how leaders can still remain deeply rooted in that human connection while still leaning fully into innovation. So welcome and thank you for joining today.
Thanks so much, Charisse. It's an honor to be here. I've listened to a lot of your material now, and it's fantastic. So to speak to you in person is a real privilege. So thanks so much for having me today.
Thank you for joining. I was just going to ask if you wanted to share a little bit more about your journey and what got you where you are right now.
Yeah, it's a really interesting time we're living in right now. It's and probably something we'll look back on in history and as a defining moment for a whole lot of reasons: the technology, AI, all of these things, and how it's disrupting everything. And it certainly disrupted my business. A few years ago, I got a business valuation, as you mentioned, and whilst all the metrics were in place for a great valuation, the typical things they look for, the valuer explained that people don't buy uncertainty. And so my whole industry and a lot of industries, there's just so much uncertainty. Whilst there's perceived stability up until this point, we just don't know what happens next. So he said he had to take that into consideration when he did the valuation. So it was a real wake-up call for me personally to think about how do I start introducing some of this technology so it doesn't sink me and make the most of the opportunity, but also to make sure I don't lose what I enjoy the most, and that's the human connections and the relationships that you build through business and, you know, helping their businesses grow, you know, working with good people to do good work, all these fun things that I really enjoy, which is there's a potential for that to be eroded if we don't do things wisely.
So what does that look like in a practical sense? And let me just kind of frame it a little bit for you. I'll use myself as an example. So I work with, you know, our staff is, we've got quite a few staff. And as AI continues to learn and evolve, a lot of the roles that are very, I'll say monotonous, repetitive, so on and so forth, can easily be. So myself as a leader, I struggle with, I want to employ people. I want to empower people. I want to help people find their full potential. However, I have this machine that can do what someone and I would employ to do in a fraction of the time without all of the belly aching that goes on with employing people. How do we reconcile those?
Yeah, it's challenging, isn't it? Because none of us want to lay off people, but that's obviously a live option for a lot of businesses. And so for me, I mean, every business and circumstance is going to be a little bit different, but because my team, the people that I lead, they're quite technical people as well. So it was slightly different for me in terms of how I thought about it. So I, for the very first time, leaned upon their expertise and knowledge to a whole new level. So we had standard operating procedures that we do things to a process always, so it's consistency that's produced and reliability and all that kind of stuff. So no matter who picks up a project, they know what's happening next. If someone's away sick or something, someone else can take on the tasks and get the work done. So those systems, but they were all built around me and my expertise and my knowledge and what I thought was best. But then I soon realized this AI thing, there's just so much going on. Not one person knows everything. None of us really feel like we're experts because it's changing so fast. I don't think even the people who create the AI technology know how it works half the time. So it's uncharted territory. And so what I decided was to lean upon my team who had expert knowledge or they enjoyed somewhat the technology and they were adaptable and they could bring fresh ideas to the table that I'd never considered. So we overhauled all the standard operating procedures quite significantly. It was quite an investment of time to get that stuff done right. And it will continue to evolve because it's all changing so fast. But now I feel as though I'm a better leader because I'm a better listener and I'm opening up opportunities for people who are smarter than me in their fields. To bring new ideas to the table. And not necessarily, we don't take on every idea, but we certainly want to hear all of them because we just don't know what we don't know.
And just to maybe circle back a little bit to something that you just said that is, on many podcasts that talk about AI, and the phrase you just used was like, you don't even think the creators of AI even fully understand what they've created because it's evolving so quickly. So the question is, when we look at technology and innovation, and I often say to people, if you want to know what's coming in the future, just look at history, because humanity hasn't evolved so much that our patterns have really been eradicated. So with AI now fully on the table, learning quickly, evolving quickly, and in a way that we can't even begin to understand or rationalize where it's going, what are the obvious concerns that we're missing here?
Yeah, well, there's a lot. I mean, I listen like most of us probably do to various podcasts and leaders and experts. And if anyone's listening to Diary of a CEO, obviously a massive podcast which is well regarded and lots of experts on there, and they have differing views of some are quite pessimistic of where it all goes, and some are optimistic. Maybe it's just the temperament of the different people who are analyzing it because none of us really know. But for us as small businesses, all we can do is make the most of the opportunities whilst not losing ourselves in the tech. And I think tech people, as you say, there's patterns in humans and we're all still human and so on, but it feels as though something of us has been eroded. I mean, even our attention spans due to social media. Now, this is a digital marketing person speaking, and we use the tools for digital marketing, social media and so on. But you can just sense and know. I mean, there's probably proper research on it, but people don't have the attention spans that they once did. And it's probably a TikTok mindset, those short videos, it's my son, my eldest son, he calls it brain rot, that you watch this stuff and your brain rots away, which is probably true to a degree.
It is.
But it's these things are out there and they're opportunities as well for business. So it's a delicate act to get the balance and the harmony right, I think, in all of these things.
It is. And there's just so much out there. And I recently did a social media post where There's just so much content. And as you just so rightly pointed out, and now I'm going to date myself, I think where it started was with vines. I don't know if you remember vines. Maybe I'm dating myself that you don't even remember what vines are, don't even know, but they were like the beginning of like that short attention span, like that content that was like 7 seconds, that had to be 7 seconds or less. Even X with what is it, whatever it is, 100, I don't even use it. So 160, 200 characters. So can you get someone's attention in a really, really short period of time? And now with all the technology, I think that businesses are struggling to find the way to present themselves in a way that is authentic, resonates with their message, but still grips an audience. And so I guess what you're talking about is what you do is you work with people to dance that very delicate dance between AI and having that human piece. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And so for any business or any person who wants to have a personal brand, for example, you really need a clear and concise, compelling message, something you want to bring to the table that people can grasp really, really fast, whether it be in the written content or the videos. If you've got something distinct that's compelling, then you've got an opportunity to stand out. But if you're kind of the same as everybody else, you have no reason to show up anywhere when people are searching, and there has to be something that stands out. And so that thing is sometimes it takes a little while to dig deep and figure out what that is that really sets you apart, makes you unique in the world. And it's usually around values and something deeply human. So that's the curious thing. It feels as though the humanization of your personal brand is so important, and to find those key elements that people might connect with and resonate with on a human level, and bring that through a digital platform. It's kind of weird. But yeah, we need to be more human than ever before. I really do believe that. It's and find ways to have a strong message that's worth sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. And the timing of this conversation is, as always, divine. And what
Sure.
I mean when I say that is internally, we're having the same conversation around content. And I think long gone are the days, maybe not long gone, but the days of like, I just want followers, I just want clicks, I just want numbers, I just want whatever. I know for myself, when I look at how I'm posting and thinking about what it is that I'm posting, and the stuff that really appeals to me is the stuff that makes me laugh, that elicits like, that those deep emotions, right? And as you said, you've got to do it and you've got to do it fast. And so do you think that a lot of business owners are still stuck? Because what you're talking about is asking people to show up with their business in a way that's very authentic, vulnerable, and human. And I think sometimes my perception is that businesses are still stuck in the idea that I can just put my product out there, I can just put my service out there, and everybody's going to love it because it's great. And the reason why it's great is because I'm the one who's doing it. Do you think they're still stuck in that? Or are we really starting to see the transition where people are understanding, like, no, we got to meld the two?
Yeah, I think there's definitely that transition happening a little bit. It depends on the industry and what your business is and what you're bringing to market. I mean, if you're a we do lots of trades and construction related businesses, and I mean, if you're an emergency plumber, it doesn't need to be all that exciting. If someone's got a leaky pipe or something, they just want someone there right away. So it's a different kind of strategy for that. You've just got to be in front of the right people at the right time. But for anything that's a slightly higher dollar sale and something that's more thoughtful, and people are going to consider different options and so on, humanizing your brand so people know who they're working with and the values that you're bringing to the table, and the nuance in the style, in the way in which you work, I think is really important. And it's kind of an interesting thing, and I think we learn this a little bit from social media. Whilst we said the negative consequences of it, there's positive I see in that there seems to be a greater connection to videos that are less polished. You see that on TikTok, and I strongly believe that it is because there's that human flawed element. So it's not the perfect video. We can all create videos of ourselves now, and they're super similar to a real video, and that, you know, we don't and ah, and we're so polished and perfect in these videos, and it's going to get even better. But it's not really us, and it's not authentically us, an avatar of us. And people kind of sense that it's not real, it's not authentic, and therefore they don't trust it. We don't trust what our eyes see on videos, on photographs. We don't trust what we read. Trust is eroded significantly. And so when something is a little bit flawed, like a video, we know it's real. At least we know we can trust it. It's reliable because it's honest. And I think that's what social is revealing. We certainly see that on TikTok. Those less polished videos do far better oftentimes.
I love that, and I'm grinning wildly and widely because as I said, I've been really thinking about my own content, and I think it was like maybe 2 weeks ago, I was grappling with how to post something that I was going through in the moment. And so I just recorded a video. It was like, I don't know, maybe a minute long or whatever, but no makeup. I was literally in my pajamas still. And I remember pausing for a moment because normally it's like, I'm gonna go put my makeup on. I'm gonna make sure the lighting is perfect. I'm gonna do all this. And by then the moment's gone. Like it's already passed. But I just recorded it and I paused for a moment before I hit like, post. And then I like, and what I always do is like when something makes me nervous about posting, I like hurry up and put my phone away. Like I don't want to know who's looking at it. But then somebody had commented later that they're like, because I was saying, I'm like, yeah, I just posted something. I didn't even, I thought about it, but I didn't put a lot of planning into it and I just posted it. And they were like, yeah, I saw it. And I didn't even ask for feedback. I was just like, don't tell me. I don't want to know. I wasn't wearing any makeup.
So how did it go? I'm curious
I don't know. I
to
still haven't checked.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? So that fear and excitement, they're the same feelings, pretty much so similar. So sometimes we let the fear aspect of it stop us, and sometimes we let the excitement and exhilaration take hold. I think I'm when I'm feeling fearful. Now, not every decision, fearful decision, is a good one. Sometimes the fear is there for a reason to stop us doing things that are dangerous. But I'm always asking, hey, is this really fear, or could it be excitement? And is it something worth pursuing, to, you know, keep me on the edge, keep me excited and motivated
Absolutely.
to try new things? And sometimes things don't work, and sometimes they do. But you're talking about, just removing the mask. I felt like that was a big thing for me, you know, a few years ago when I got that business valuation done. So much in my life changed at that time. So the tech, the things that I did to regulate myself and balance myself, and, you know, getting into breath work and cold plunges and a whole bunch of other things, because the speed in which we're moving now, it can be so consuming. And so, you know, you've got to center ourselves, take the time to breathe. Breathing should be simple. We all do it
I
naturally,
know.
but to breathe properly. It's been really interesting for me the last few years.
So on that note, I want to talk more about some of these other things that you're talking about, the breath work, and then touch a little bit on from, visibility to credibility and how we build that trust factor in this day of technology and AI. But we're going to go to our first break, but when we come back, we will talk more about breath work and from visibility to trust. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I am joined by Wes Towers, and we are talking about standing out in an AI-driven market. So right before break, Wes was about to start talking about breath work. And it feels like, Wes, that it was something that might have been revolutionary for you in your experience. Do you want to dive in a little bit more and tell us about your experience? I mean, I talk about breath work all the time. I'm just curious how it really changed your experience.
Yeah, well, I can't speak from an expert level on it, but I can just speak to how it's impacted my own life and some of these things. I mean, running business, and I guess the way my temperament maybe just it's hard to switch off, and you know, you just work so hard and get the work done and put in the hours, and it can be kind of stressful. Any business is stressful at times, and certainly with everything changing, it felt like you know, I needed to get ways of regulating myself. So I went to a psychologist for a little while, and I found a really progressive lady who supported me really well, and she encouraged me to do breath work, which is great. I mean, I hear that not every psychologist is, you know, that into those types of modalities and other, you know, mechanisms to help us, but she was. So she encouraged me with that and a whole bunch of other things, but that was the one that really had a big impact. I had I did a formal thing with an organization, and like they played the didgeridoos over us, you know, that we're in Australia, so it was wonderful. So yeah, it's kind of that earthy resonant sound that sort of rumbles right through your body while you're doing the breath work. It was beautiful, but yes, saw visions and all sorts of crazy things, you know, kind of woo-woo. If anyone's into the woo-woo stuff, it was definitely, yeah, me too. I love all that stuff. It became a way that I could regulate even during the day really quick if I felt, and just to be a little bit more self-aware. It's something you can do even at your desk. There's different techniques and so on. So if you just need a moment at your desk, you can do a little bit and regulate yourself really fast and get back in the moment to do whatever it is you're doing. So taking the moment away from working and thinking, it just, my business has flourished since introducing some of these things, and cold plunges as well, a few other bits and pieces, some plant medicine as well, which may or may not be legal wherever listeners are listening from. And I'm not saying to do or not do anything, but I can just say,
disclaimer.
there's things out there that can support us in our mental health. And I think it helps business flourish, and it helps us be more human as well. As we dive into AI so much, we've got to have mechanisms to keep us centered and level and to slow down a little bit, I think.
Yeah, you know, thank you for sharing that, because, you know, what I was really curious about was, you know, how it helped, because you said once you started really employing the breath work for yourself personally, it really, like, your business flourished. And that is like that's a large statement. So do you feel like it just allowed you to like self-regulate a lot more in that, so you could be more clear, like literally bringing fresh oxygen into your system so you could just calm down and really see your way through whatever you might have been grappling with in that moment?
Yeah, I think all of those things, just from a physiological standpoint, getting more oxygen in, it's got to help. But just the practice in itself to set aside a moment to reset. I mean, you can get, well, for me, I can just get so wired up, and I'm sort of spinning my wheels. It's just feels like wheel spinning endeavor sometimes, just putting in so much but not getting anywhere. And so you get past that by slowing down. The other thing too, and it's more recent, like I've been listening more into Taoism and those sorts of philosophies, because they help me in my temperament, as I said. So it's more of a just letting things be sometimes, which I need to certainly do. I guess it's a leadership thing, isn't it? So there's that when you're in any form of leadership and you're leading a business, there's so much demand on you to lead, and people are depending on that. So the flip side of that, if you don't get the balance right, you become too driven, and it's not good for anybody.
And that's really what this. I was actually having a conversation with someone the other day, and I'm all about the woo, just so you know, so you don't have to filter here. But I was saying to someone, I was explaining to them the idea around divine masculine energy and divine feminine energy, and I said, we need both. You need both in pretty well all that you do. And that masculine energy, you need it in order to take the juicy idea you have and put it into action. But that juicy idea is actually divine feminine energy. And the dance that we are doing as business owners and leading is like feeling into or in tuning when you need to employ each of the different energies. So, when you're talking about, you're getting, and I think anybody who's a really hands-on active business owner, we all get into that space where it's like you can feel it, right? It's this slow crescendo of like this mounting pressure and anxiety that just is like it's escalating. And I had one of these moments literally last week where I was just in a frenzy over all the things I needed to do. And then the idea was stop, breathe, regroup. And that's exactly what I did. I sat down. Okay, I didn't just stop. I cried. I let it all out, all the frustration, because the frustration was I'm racing against the clock and there's not enough time to get all these things done. And then afterwards, it was like this whole clarity of, it'll, what needs to get done will get done and everything else will, come into play at some later point in time. So, thank you for reminding us that even with all of the advances in technology and innovation, we are still human at the end of the day and need to be able to do that dance between the pushing and the action and the just being and letting things flow.
100%. The yin and yang. The I've just started doing yin yoga, which has been really, really good for me as well. It's another little technique. Obviously the feminine side, but
People
that
are often
softer.
challenged with that one because it's so different to like your power, your, that real strength kind of or flow yoga. It's really challenging for, it was definitely challenging for me. So
I'm not very flexible, so I've found it pretty difficult. And they're quite advanced, the one I've joined. They're all really young and healthy people, so I'm trying to keep up, but with the stretch levels. But and then they finish with the sound bowls as well, which is awesome too. But there's so many different things that I like to try. But one thing from that and the learnings, I mean, it was more the shadow work. That's another idea of the two sides of things. The shadow work is a way I thought about that, and the way in which we can use that with our clients. And I don't tell them it's shadow work, but where the philosophy came from. But it's a way in which I can draw upon ideas that make them unique. So I think about it's more of a session where they can complain. They complain about everything that's wrong in their industry and their business. It's the shadow. I consider it the shadow or the dark side of the business. So everything that's wrong with their own business, but also with their industry. And it's almost like a venting session for them. So get them to open up and say all these dark things within the company or the industry. And from that, we can quickly see what the opposite, the side of that is, the positive, the light. And those are the things we speak to in the marketing. And so we figure out, okay, this is all the negative stuff. What's the inverse opposite of all of that? And that's what is driving them and motivating them, and that's the things they're wanting to move towards. So that's what we build the marketing strategies around so often. Previously, I would just speak to the positive straight away, but speaking to the negatives, is it seems just so much easier for people to open up and vent in these things. They're strongly motivated, you know, emotional, and so getting those emotions drawn out of them is just so much easier. And it's obviously the flip side. We want to market, we always want to speak positively and have a positive angle from the marketing standpoint.
And I definitely want to dive into that more, because I haven't, we're about to go to break, but I haven't heard anybody refer to it that way, in terms of like the shadow work in business. But what a unique way to like present it, which we'll dive into in a little bit more. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk. I'm curious about this. I want to know more about what that actually, I mean, I know what shadow work is, but I want to dive into it a little bit more. So we will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where I am joined by Wes Towers today, and we are talking about standing out in an AI-driven market. So right before break, Wes was sharing some of his experiences with breath work and what sounds like sound therapy, as well as some yin yoga and those other modalities to really help him connect with his humanness, even though you were surrounded by technology and innovation and employed a lot. But what I was really kind of interested in right before we went to break was you'd said, and I was interested because I've never heard anybody refer to it like that, which is the shadow work of your business. And I think I just wrote some notes here, but I think the way that you summarized is allowing your clients a vent session where they just rant about all the things wrong in either their business or their industry, and then pivot and figure out how their product or service addresses those pain points, for lack of putting it a better way.
Yeah. It's something that I guess it's inspired by the shadow work that I did, you know, in my own personal life as well. So the concept that there's an aspect of the darkness in us, and there's strength in that. And when it's in the right place, it's helpful, but it has the potential to cause damage if we're not aware of it, and so on. So yeah, just having these discussions, often it's trades and construction people that I'm working with, so they're typically pragmatic, hands-on, down to earth. They're not really woo-woo people, so I don't say we're going to do a whole bunch of shadow work now. It's just some of the questioning, and I guess I'm quite intuitive in the way I would have the conversation, but it's a creating space for them to complain effectively and vent, and to say, even to speak about their competitors and what's wrong with them, because we know from shadow work, the things that irritate us the most in others are often the things inside of us as well. So I'm having that conversation, listening, but trying to understand, okay, what's really going on? Why are these things coming up when we're having the conversation, and figuring out, okay, what really does make this company tick? And if I get the chance to speak to the founder, the businesses are usually a reflection of who the founder is, their personal values and so on. So having this conversation with the founder, and then we can quickly figure out what really does set them apart in the world as a business, as a person, but as a business, and figure out what that marketing message is. Because as we said, it's really difficult to stand out. It's a noisy world right now, you know. Yeah. Content is produced at scale with a few clicks of a button. As I said, we don't know if what we're reading is real, and it's kind of generic, because if people rely on the AI tools too much, it's just pulling in content from everywhere and just collating it into something perceived to be new, but it's not really new. It's just the average sum total of what everyone else has already said. So you've got to find a way to add something new and unique to the conversation. So if you do, you've got a chance to show up in Google and show up in large language models themselves, because you're bringing something new to the table. So having these conversations, it's remarkable how it uncovers genuine points of difference. Mm-hmm. Where if I've been doing this for years now, marketing and so on, and if you have the conversation, hey, what makes you unique? It's usually a fairly bland answer. Everyone kind of says the same sorts of things. We really care. We care about our people. It feels fairly surface level. So, but if you go from the opposite side and what really frustrates you, and what's everyone else doing wrong that you're doing differently, and these things, it's amazing what opens up. And it's been powerful. Yeah.
That's a great way to phrase it. I was thinking about that. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and we were talking about a new business idea. And normally the way that I talk about it is like, it's a pain point, right? Yeah. So what is the pain point of this group, business, individuals, whatever, that we're going to solve? And how are we going to do it? Because we're such emotional beings. And that's why I found it really interesting that you phrased it, like you phrased it that way here, but I never thought about it as like in that context, right? I've always thought about it in terms of like, what is somebody's pain point? And if we can figure out how to speak to that pain point, it's going to sit with them. And what a great way, because you're right. Any time I sit in any kind of marketing conversation, that is always one of the first questions, like, what makes you different? And I almost hate that question because I always say the same thing, which is like, nothing. At the end of the day, the reality is we all offer the same, like, if I looked at our competitors, we all offer the same product. We deal with the same suppliers. The pricing, and I don't think we should ever compete on price, because it is the most fickle of things. So the only thing that ultimately makes it different is me or us as a group. So how do we translate that in terms of the messaging? And I think that this is really what you're trying to fill the gap on, is you can have a widget, a product, a service, whatever, but how do we connect that human piece and say, I want to work with these guys. It might be a little bit more, but they get my pain. They feel it. They understand me. And that's really what you're filling the gap on with what you do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the one thing that makes businesses succeed or fail in the near future. I mean, with the tech, you know, AI and perfection of AI and things, you know, replacing people, it's going to, whatever industry it is, it's going to produce what it perceives to be perfect. But everyone's going to have that perfect. So what is it that makes someone buy from one person to the next?
Yep.
It's the people behind the business. And so you've got to find ways to bring that to the surface, so people will either connect or be repelled by you, and that's perfectly fine. I mean, I think it's a sign of maturity not to worry if everyone doesn't love you. You know, there's some people who will, they're part of your tribe, and there's others that don't, and that's perfectly fine. There's plenty that will be drawn to what you're doing, I think.
For sure. But I'm curious with how you've couched that and talking to your clients in terms of like pain points or shadow work of their business, you're inviting them, even if they, whether they know it or not, is neither here nor there, but you're inviting them to like really peel back the layers of what makes them unique. How does that work? So I imagine then in that case, you wouldn't necessarily see, because one of the questions I wrote here is like, well, what if the motivation is like people have a great money idea and it's not at all about, you know, serving the collective or any of these things. It's just like, I've got this great idea and I know it's going to make a lot of money. Are you still able to like peel back the layers and bring that human piece? Not that there's anything wrong with money. I'm just, you know, it's comes and it goes.
Yeah. That's an interesting point of view. It feels as though there's always something that's drawn out. I suppose it's interesting. There's always something different that comes out in these conversations. And so just collating that into a way in which it's useful. We produce a lot of content for clients as well to attract Google's attention. So once we've got these points of distinction, we put style guides and prompts and so on customized for them so that anything we write for them is on brand and on message and distinctly theirs. But yeah, it is for any business that's motivated purely by money, that's the wrong way of looking at it. And I don't know that they'll ever succeed for the long term. Like they might succeed for the short term. This is my personal conviction, to think about value, money follows value. So the way in which you're providing value, excessive value to your end customers, the money follows that. So if you're thinking about just producing more and more value, the money follows. I think if you're chasing money, you're not chasing value and you're going to eventually crumble. We don't have a lot of clients like that. Maybe they're just not drawn to me, but maybe that's part of, maybe they're repelled by what we're up to.
They don't like your shadow work.
Probably. It is interesting how certain people come your way. It just feels as though they just show up at the right time as well. It's interesting.
Which brings me to one of the questions I wanted to ask you, which is the difference between being found and chosen, because it reminds me of this book. I started reading it. I haven't finished it, but I don't know if you've heard of the book Oversubscribed. And then the idea. Yeah. And so the idea that like those things that are for you, they won't pass you by. So with the people that you work with, you're in your experience, what's the difference in your mind between being found and being actively chosen?
Yeah, well, it's really difficult. I think that book, was it Daniel Priestley who wrote that book?
I don't even remember the author. I was I love this idea.
Yeah, he's an Aussie guy. That's why I mention it.
Okay.
Yeah, fellow Aussie. So I think so. We'll fact check that. But so the chosen piece, because every business can communicate a really polished message these days. There's ways that you need to that you can leverage to build trust, so people know it's genuinely you are who you say you are, and so on. And that's important for anything that's more than an impulse buy. Like if you're selling a $5 widget, fine, sell that thing online and be done with it. No one's thinking about it too much. But for most businesses, you're trying to create a level of trust. So anything that's outside of your control are the important things. So the Google reviews, for example, or any reviewing platform that you can't easily manipulate or control, they're going to be more trustworthy. So building those into your marketing strategy to create as many of those as you can, case studies, stories, examples. For us working with trades and construction, they might be building beautiful homes. And so to have the photographs of those case study homes, so people can start to see the end product and understand that they're not AI photos. They can see it's a legitimate home, for example, that's built. And, showing that those things, those the proof, so you can be chosen ahead of others. So getting your key points of distinction communicated, but also to validate it with trust signals, so that people find you, not only find you, but they understand you to be trustworthy, and they put their trust in you and choose you to work with.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it, because I was going to actually ask what are the ways. And so I'll ask the inverse question when we come back from break, because you've talked about the ways that we can build trust. So you said Google reviews, testimonials, case studies, showing your work. But again, in this day and age of AI, the question I know people always ask when they see something is like, is this even real? Can you believe we live in an age where it's like, is this real? Like, I don't know if I can trust this. It's just I mean, my dad used to say things like, believe half of what you see and none of what you read. But now it's like, I don't even know if I can believe what I see, because it can just be, AI does such a good job with generating stuff that you don't even know if what you're watching is real. So, but when we come back from break, I want to talk about the ways that people unknowingly and unintentionally erode trust, like in the content that they're creating. So when we come back, we'll dive into that a little bit more. We'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where I am joined by Wes Towers. And we are talking about, well, not all things AI, some things AI, and how you can stand out in an AI-driven market. Right before break, Wes was giving us a couple of tips on how we can build trust when we are out there with our marketing and instilling faith and confidence in such a digitally innovative environment that we're in right now. And what I wanted to ask Wes, why do I keep calling you Les? But what I wanted to ask was, what are the ways that people are unknowingly eroding that trust digitally?
Yeah, well, when there's a lack of alignment with the marketing and the actual business, when people connect with someone, maybe it's a salesperson in the organization, if they're completely opposite to each other, then there's immediately trust eroded. And so sometimes there's, with the bigger companies that we work with, there's differing views in the sales department to the marketing department. And so that it's as if they're trying to achieve the same thing, but there's often a lack of alignment. So the salespeople say, you're not giving us the quality of lead, that they're not the right people coming through our doors. You know, you're marketing to these things where we want to be selling these things because it's better or easier and whatnot. So if those areas of business aren't aligned and talking to each other and trying to work towards the same thing, the end people will sense that, because they've read a particular marketing message. Now all of a sudden they're speaking to the company themselves, a salesperson or someone representing the business, and they're talking about a different thing, or it's just in a different context or a different style, and they might not even be able to put their finger on it, but there's a lack of alignment. So I think that is the key thing. There has to be consistency right through the business, every touch point for the customers, so it feels the same. It's the brand experience. It's kind of hard to pinpoint sometimes, but you can kind of, you know when it's out of alignment. I mean, working on websites oftentimes with it's usually the bigger companies, just because things are siloed more, you know, departments are not talking to each other. And I can just sense, you know, when they start bagging, I'll speak to the marketing team, and when they start bagging out the salespeople, I know there's something wrong here, and so it becomes a challenge. I think alignment of message with heart, that heart-centered business where everyone's on the same, heading in the right direction, same direction is the key thing. Once you're going in different directions, you even if it's a slightly different direction, by the time you get to where you're going, the difference can be quite vast. So I think that's the key thing with trust.
So consistency and alignment throughout the entire organization.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. And so I imagine, I guess it depends on how big the organization is, but sometimes because different departments are motivated by different outcomes and they should feed into the organizational objective, but sometimes people can become very myopic with what it is that they need to achieve. And so this is where the disconnect comes from, right? So I guess part of then what you're talking about, when we say internal alignment, it's making sure to the best of your abilities that each of the departments within the organization are really aligned with the overall corporate objectives. And this is where those values come in, right? Making sure everybody's aligned with that vision and how they fit into it.
Yeah, it's so much easier with these things in a small company because it's basically the founders, the founder is the brand. So everything sort of aligns to that one person, which becomes so much easier because you kind of, everyone knows what it is. He's the boss or she's the boss and that's what it is. So alignment becomes easier, even though people might not necessarily agree with it. They know what the company view is. So, but once you get a bit bigger, and I think this is part of the growing pains of businesses as well. I mean, we've had some companies, I've been trading more than 20 years. So some of the businesses that started tiny, and you can see them grow through the different cycles and the different challenges through growth. You know, they're good challenges. Obviously, it means they're growing and doing something right. So,
yeah, absolutely. Those are good problems to have.
Yeah.
So we are just getting to the end of our time together. So for the audience, I'm curious if you could give us some direction on, first of all, overuse of AI, and how you guide the people that you work with, your clients, in that delicate balance, using AI and the tools, but not losing the authenticity piece or their voice within that.
Yeah, so using AI as an assistant rather than the creative leader creating all the content for you. So because it's so easy, people just lean upon it far too much. I think the way to think about it is to give it your ideas and it can help collate it into a logical sequence that makes sense. I mean, that's how I do it from my own content. I might be just driving in the car between meetings or something, and I just start speaking to my phone, my ChatGPT typically, and just brainstorming some ideas. And by the time I get to wherever I'm going, it's collated in a sequence, a logical sequence that other people can understand. And I've built language around what I'm trying to share that other people will resonate with. So that's me putting the ideas in and creating something as opposed to just getting it straight out of the tool itself, which a lot of people are doing. And we can kind of see the signs of that kind of thing. And no one's going to kind of connect with it, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that, you know, because you've talked about Diary of a CEO. And yes, there's been lots and lots of experts that talk about, I guess, for lack of putting it a different way, is, you know, loss of critical thinking function, and the risk that we run where we lose the ability to partner with the technology in a way where it's like, and what you talked about is, I love doing that. Like, I have this idea and I just want to get it out. You know, it used to be that I would just do a voice note and just keep it to come back to. But now it's like, take all this jumbled stuff that I had in my brain and like bring it together in a way that I can actually share with somebody that it makes sense. I'm out of time. Anyway, thank you so much, Wes, for joining me today.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.